Last Handful of Clover, a novel by Wes Mongo Jolly, read by the author. Book 3, The Stone in the Stream.
Chapter 29, The Bird Has Flown. June 16th, 1:21 p.m. Billy followed 3 steps behind Keith and Pill, constantly looking to the left and right, as well as scanning the street to their rear. He looked under cars and into the yards of the broken, burned, or locked-up houses on either side of the street. He knew that danger could come from any direction, and if it did, he would only have seconds to react. After that, they would all have to rely on Pill's newly acquired sight and his tire iron to take down whatever was rushing toward them. Nerves Billy didn't know he had were frayed to the breaking point. Richard had made him promise he wouldn't let anything happen to Keith, and although he'd given Richard his word, he didn't feel confident that he could get Richard's husband out of the city, even with Pill's help. He glanced quickly at the 2 men. They were walking close. Pill didn't grasp Keith's hand, but their bodies remained just inches apart, and their steps were synchronized. They had fallen into a shared, shuffling rhythm, despite the tension that was written across their shoulders. Something in their manner made Billy feel strangely self-conscious, as if he was an unwelcome visitor or a third wheel. There is an intimacy between these two, Billy thought. It's unspoken, but it's powerful. And if anything gets them to safety, that may very well be it. As they walked, Pill turned frequently to check that Billy was still behind them. They would share a quick glance, but no words. And then Pill's eyes would once again scan the street ahead. The man's grip on the tire iron was firm but relaxed, as if it had become an extension of his arm. Bill guided them up 3rd Avenue toward the home that he had shared with Michelle. Billy wondered if the very sight of the house would shatter Pill's fragile resolve with a rush of painful memories. Hopefully, the man would be strong enough to stay focused on what he, too, had promised Richard. From time to time, Billy would take a breath and close his eyes long enough to try to get a sense of where Maddie had gone. But there was still no sense of her. "Damn this static," he thought. "Or she's in some innocent, killing at the direction of her master, like so many of the other tortured ghosts in this city." He caught himself hoping that would remain the case. For as long as she was in a human host, she could not sense him either, and that could only help keep them safe. "Once we get to Pill's house and get his car, maybe things will be easier." About a block from Richard's house, Billy registered something odd. "Have you noticed?" he asked, drawing close to Pill on his left.
"Notice what?" Pill responded, not turning to look at Billy.
"The birds, the wind, everything. It was almost silent when we left the house. Now that we're a couple blocks away, I'm finally hearing birds again."
Pill looked thoughtful. He didn't respond, but Billy could see him registering the fact that Billy was right. The silence that had seemed so oppressive just a block back now seemed less weighty. The air itself felt lighter, despite the devastation that was evident all around them.
"I'm worried about what we've left Richard and Howard behind to face," Billy said, grateful that Keith could not hear his grave tone.
"I feel it too," Pill whispered. "It's like there's a dark cloud behind us. It feels very tense. But we can't think about that now. We have enough to worry about."
Billy knew that Keith could hear Pill's side of the conversation, but he was still startled when the smaller man spoke.
"What are you two talking about?" Keith asked, a hint of resentment in his voice at being left out. Billy realized he had to stop thinking about Keith as helpless or as just their charge to protect. He was a person in his own right, one that had already borne great pain and hardship with amazing strength and courage. Pill touched Keith's cheek.
"Nothing, baby bear. Billy just worries. We're fine."
Keith stopped in the street.
"You just called me baby bear, the way Richard does."
Pill looked shocked, realizing that he did.
I'm sorry, he stammered. I didn't mean to. I'm not sure why I said that.
Keith took the big man's hand.
"Maybe Richard left a little of himself in you," Keith said.
For the first time since he had met Richard's husband, Billy saw him smile. The two men stood looking into each other's eyes for several heartbeats before they knew it was time to move on. They continued down Third Avenue.
"We know so little about possession," Billy thought. "Perhaps Keith's right. Maybe Richard left more of himself in Pill than either of them will ever know."
It was a comforting thought. But then, what it implied made a chill run up Billy's spine. How much of Justin might still be in Howard Gunderson? Despite the sounds of the birds and the lightness in the air, the surrounding devastation only grew as they got further from Richard and Keith's house. There were two more bodies in that first block, and four on the next. In his mind, Billy did the math. If there were two or more bodies on every block throughout this city, the death toll would already be in the tens of thousands. Probably the hundreds of thousands. On the corner before Pill's house, they saw a burning body in the middle of the street, with what looked like a missionary boy sitting calmly 2 feet away. The boy's white shirt and black plastic name tag were stained with blood, and he was staring numbly and watching the body burn, an empty gas can lying on its side next to him. Strangely, a big orange cat crouched beside the boy's knee, tail flicking and eyes locked on the approaching trio. Billy could hear the guttural growl as if the cat was warning them not to approach. But the boy seemed oblivious. They didn't know if he was possessed or just numbly watching a loved one burn. But they decided to stay safe and detour around the block. Just past the final intersection, before reaching Pill and Michelle's house, a pack of a dozen dogs suddenly appeared. They didn't look feral, and Billy knew at once that they weren't dangerous. But they looked panicked, and they hung together in a pack much tighter than any normal group of animals would ever form. They raced past the trio, making a wide berth around their ankles. They didn't bark, and Billy felt they were only going as fast as the slowest member of their pack, a Dachshund, which was panting furiously as its short legs tried desperately to keep pace. The trio watched the dogs, and each one gave them a sad glance as they passed. But they didn't linger. They continued to race on to the west, and none of them looked back.
"I think they know the way out, too," Keith said, as the dogs disappeared up the street. "I hope they make it."
Finally, a half block later, Pill drew up to a sidewalk and stopped. He and Keith stared at a house on their left.
"Is this it?" Billy asked. "Are we here?"
Pill was silent, but Keith said quietly,
"Pill, the car."
There was a halo of smashed window glass on the street.
"Big Bird is gone," Pill said.
You're listening to The Last Handful of Clover, a novel by Wes Mongo Jolly. If you're enjoying this audiobook, please consider supporting the author on Patreon. That's patreon.com/WesMongoJolly. And for more information, check out the author's website at WesMongoJolly.com. That's WessMongoJolly.com. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more episodes.